Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us on this Thanksgiving Eve comes from Psalm 116. And as I read this psalm, I would like for you to listen for the attitude that's expressed by the writer. There may be more than one. Hint, hint. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Psalm 116. Friends in Christ, on this Thanksgiving Eve, do you need an attitude adjustment? As you think about that, I invite you to bring your burdens to the Lord. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you, are words of invitation written by the Apostle Peter. Psalm 116 said something similar. Basically, I love you, Lord, for you answered my prayers. So, on this Thanksgiving Eve, I encourage you, first of all, to pray. To pray for your needs, to pray for the needs of others. Jesus taught us to pray, after all, give us this day our daily bread. And Martin Luther took off on that note, writing, daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, and so on. He also wrote that in praying, give us this day our daily bread, we are asking God to help us realize our need and receive his blessings with thanksgiving. On this Thanksgiving Eve, you may hear these things. You may even agree that they're true. And you may still feel a void in your life. Do you sense that you are not as thankful as you should be? Do you feel that you're not praising God as much as you should? Do you feel a bit guilty for not appreciating his blessings as much as you should? Now I realize I just ran through a whole bunch of shoulds. But I'm doing that in order to ask, where are you tonight? Where is your attitude set? Does it need an adjustment? If so, I would direct your attention once more to Psalm 116. Again, it says, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice, he heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. When you take a look at the rest of this psalm, and we heard it tonight, the whole thing, we find a person who was coming face to face with his own mortality. Time was running out on him. And he remembers the time when the Lord had snatched him out of danger and given him a new lease on life. Again, I ask, what about you? Do you have this sense that the meter is running? You're not sure what to do with that. Even accepting that challenge, that feeling, as we look at what the psalm writer wrote, we ask, was he thankful? Absolutely. He even set up a special occasion to give thanks. We heard it in verses 17 through 19. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. But what caught my ear, and hopefully what caught yours, is how this psalm ends. It simply said at the very end, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's a phrase so well known in Christian circles as to almost go beyond cliche. It may come across as a pat answer to some. Or it may strike you as a verbal placeholder, in other words, stuff you say to sound spiritual. For others, it may sound or come across, because it is an imperative, a command, praise the Lord. It may seem like just another thing to cross off the to-do list. Got the turkey, check. Mashed potatoes made, check. Praise the Lord, check. Cross it off the list. But tonight, I'm truly hoping we can recover the powerful truth of the phrase, praise the Lord. For what these three words tell us is that the Lord is worthy of praise simply for who he is. And you and I are at our best when we praise the Lord simply for who he is. If you want to know whether or not you're praising the Lord simply for who he is, just ask yourself this question. What's your heart more attached to? The gifts God gives, or the God who gives them? That may be a distinction you haven't thought about for a while. But it's the distinction at the heart of tonight's very famous gospel lesson, in which Jesus heals 10 lepers and only one returns to thank the one who gave the gift of healing. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that all 10 loved the gift God gave, but only one loved God enough to return and give personal praise. It's worth noting there's not a thing in the text that says that our Lord withdrew the gift from the nine who just went home, that on their way home they were suddenly struck with the reoccurrence of leprosy. Nothing in there like that whatsoever. He let them keep it. But the one who returned to give thanks, had something far better than even life-changing physical healing. He had a personal audience with God in the flesh. It's the real question at the heart of Thanksgiving, the day and the principle. Do you go to God to get things, or do you go to God to get Him? Here's why your answer to that question matters. If you go to God mainly to get things, then your thanksgiving will always be conditional. Oh, you'll thank Him when He does the things you ask. But what if He doesn't? On the other hand, if you go to God mainly to get Him, then not only are you strengthened by your connection to Father, Son, and Spirit, but you can then enjoy the other gifts appropriately. In His vast generosity, He throws in the other gifts of home and family and career and reputation as gifts for you to fully enjoy. But they're not the ultimate point of your life. The point of your life is summed up in three words: praise the Lord. So how do you get there? How do you get to the point where you're going to God to get Him more than you're going to God to get things? Well, step one is to think. Attitude is, after all, a mental position. It's an act of the will. It's feelings, yes, but it's more than feelings. It's what you think your way into. So we are called on to think through what you know, as well as to think through what you don't know. And by that, I mean, if God is as good and as merciful as the Bible says, then He has lifted burdens that you don't know anything about. He's met needs you aren't even aware of. He's provided you with blessings that are hidden from your eyes right now tonight. You have some catching up to do. Your praises do not balance out with your petitions for things, and neither do mine. But let me tell you something else. That balance has been met. The scales are even. In fact, Jesus is the one who made sure that the praises exceeded the requests and the needs and the demands. Because as I know you know, He came into this world with the right attitude. And others picked up on this. The angels sang praises at His birth. Shepherds showed up and gave Him praise. Wise men showed up and gave Him praise. Simeon and Anna in the temple gave Him praise. The lepers, the blind, the disabled, the deaf, the adulterers, the thieves, even the dead that He raised gave Him praise. And in perfect obedience to his Father, Jesus walked the thankless road that led up to the cross. And there he stretched out his holy arms, bowed his head in submission, and gave his life for our sins. He took into himself our ingratitude, our praiselessness, and sacrificed himself. He allowed himself to be treated as if he was the thankless one, so that you could be treated as the one who did everything well. Yes, Jesus' death on the cross balances the scales for you, and his resurrection from the dead tips the scales in the other direction. You and I receive from him far more good than we merit or deserve. In fact, his resurrection pours a power into you that cannot be gained any other way. You and I can stand strong in the face of death. Why? Why? Because I know that my Redeemer lives. He lives my mansion to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. Do you see why the Lord Jesus deserves the praise? He deserves the praise for who he is. He deserves the praise for what he has done on the timeline we call history to bring us into eternity with him. And when you set your attitude to this truth, when you focus on Jesus' life and death and new life, his resurrection and ascension, his kingly rule over all things, and his presence with his church, that is when worship becomes beautiful. And that's the point at which your life and its meaning and purpose becomes clear. And check this out. The point of our present life, the point of the lives we're living right this minute, it's the same as our heavenly life. It is to praise the Lord. You were made for this. You were saved for it. The joy of praising Jesus is yours forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.